Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Breathing. So today is the antidote to Inquisition. Yes, we welcome back my favorite, one of my favorite humans on the planet, perfect for now, to address the Inquisition, wonderful Max Dashew, great scholar, activist, authority, guide on women's woof and inquisitional suppression and how we overcome it, and our uncringing antidotes that are available. Max Dashew is the founder of the Women's Suppressed History Archives, suppressedhistories.net, and is an expert in ancient female iconography in world archaeology, female spheres of power and matricultures, patriarchies and allied systems of domination, medicine women, female shamans and witches. You can find her recent book, Witches and Pagans, from Valeda Press. Really fabulous. We are in fall fun drive, and Max is wonderfully offering copies of her coloring book, Theosophy, Coloring Book of Goddess Spirits and Ancestors, Icons, from the Suppressed Histories Archives with drawings and commentary. So heartening. You know, I was, just going, oh, who's the perfect person to dance with as this ongoing inquisition, past, present, we compost the future, and we go, ah, Max, how wonderful. So we are here to break the spells of cringing. Woofy women arise in the face of myriad inquisitions with the waxing harvest moon equinox. Womanly woof's capacity to emerge uncringing from inquisitional suppression, and all protective embrace for Christine Blasey Ford. So wonderful. Welcome, Max.
Thank you, Caroline. Yes, uncringing indeed, with the courage that she has shown to come forward in this way, knowing what awaits. panel of Republican interrogators.
Right, and death threats, and her family had to move already, and we go, oh, yes, lest we think the Inquisition be over. No. You know, it's intriguing because I find that the Inquisition lives in all of our psyches, and when I do astrological readings, sometimes with people who had challenging issues with their mother who was very kind of rah, 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 and I go, well, not that your mother would have ever thought this consciously, but the thought is, if my daughter is really my woofy daughter, witchy, she's going to blow our cover and the Inquisition will come round us up. You know, and I go, yes, so ollie ollie income free, no more cringing. Do you know the wonderful movie Dangerous Beauty?
Yes. I love that movie.
Right. Well, Veronica Franco. Yeah, well, again, just to bring her up and then toss it back to you and the coloring book and our fun, everything. But I love Veronica Franco, actual real woman, one of the few women we know of who was accused of witchcraft by the Inquisition and who beats the rap. And it's not really a spoiler, the whole movie, it's fantastic. But she doesn't go wimpy, right? She goes full on woofy and stands defiant in front of the Inquisition and says, all my life I have resisted the worst fate that can befall a woman, which is to be of utter inconsequence. Arr. And it's her woofiness that inspires the otherwise wimpy men of Venice, all of whom she slept with, the bishop, the mayor, and everything, to overcome their fear and back her up, causing the Inquisition to say, the entire city of Venice is damned, and we're packing our bags and leaving, causing the entire city of Venice to go, carnival! And so I think it's one of those moments, right?
Yeah, well, and Venice is interesting because they were one of the places where the state actually challenged the power of the church with the Inquisition, because the church had this fiction that they abhor the shedding of blood, but in actuality, it was just a formality to turn over to the state for execution anyone condemned by the inquisitors. And there came a time in the late 1500s, I think it was, that the inquisitors handed over people and expecting fully that they would be executed by the state. And the state said, wait a minute, we don't think we should do this. And, of course, the church freaked out because they were exploding the whole fiction, you know, that the church was really recommending mercy, you know, and that mercy was shown up to be a fraud because, in fact, they did want the state to execute. So Italy has a very interesting history with the Inquisition because in Venice is one place, and then the other side of northern Italy, in the Western Alps, we have one of the few revolts against the Inquisition in the early 1500s. And so the common people actually rose up and said, this is horrible what you're doing. You're torturing people into telling lies. you know, basically repeat after me what I want you to say, and it is all the evil deeds of the witches that we are going to make you say. And people said, no, you're torturing people, and you're executing people, and this is messed up, and we hate it. And guess what? We're rising up. So there is that. Italy has a history of resistance around that. And Veronica Franco is part of that.
Yeah. Well, we want to tap in. Well, we're there again. Revolts against the Inquisition as so crucial. Speaking of which, I did see Michael Moore's movie last night, Fahrenheit 11/9. It opens.
Oh, it's
I guess wide. It's very worthy. It's very worthy.
I hear it's good.
And it was poignant because we also want to honor, you know, positive Yang guys. And I didn't know this, but seated beside me was a wonderful guy, Mark Eldridge, who's running for county executive in my county, Montgomery County, Maryland. And I think it speaks well of him and anyone that he, along with many of us, was weeping at the movie when it shows so much cruelty in Flint, so much abuse of women and children and water and injustice and all of those things. And we go, and it is I would have added a paragraph at the end just to help him finish the movie, but it is arousing. It's very worthy, and it's again like yourself, Michael Moore, very much on the team to remind us that not to be daunted or cringe, but it's very dangerous now, you know. And you know, Fahrenheit 11/9. We remember that 11/9 was Kristallnacht, right?
Working class brother, and you know, it's very interesting to me because there's this way in which he was fated to tell this story. He's from Flint, and Flint was where this happened, you know. And he's of course uncovered many other inconvenient truths over the way, but it's just, you know, everything. It really is a violation of the life principle, this desecration of the waters, which is ongoing. They still don't have water. They still don't have clean water. And so, you know, it's just like there's a convergence of things happening, you know, and he's part of that picture to tell that story.
Right, it's powerful, and it's also what we want in all of us. You know, again, nuanced storytelling, not spun into polarity, but nuanced, going, you know, it's a revisitation also of the betrayal of Bernie at the Democratic Convention. That makes you weep, too. I was there. It was like, oh, right. And then also the betrayal of Hillary Clinton and many things, and then her betrayal of that and all of those things. And also Obama's betrayal of Flint, which I hadn't fully understood. And we go,
There are betrayals there, too. Yeah.
There are betrayals there, too, but I like... Sorry?
That's the nature of power, is that you cannot be at the helm of the greatest empire in the world without being complicit in certain ways, you know, and that was certainly true in terms of refugees, and that was certainly true in terms of the militarism, you know.
Right.
That which sustains empire, you know.
Yeah. And just because we're all, you know, but it's also important, I think, that, you know, many fairy tales begin with betrayal that sets the heroine or hero on their way. It's a journey they would have never chosen, and it's instigated by betrayal, but it's going to turn out in the long run to be good for everybody because it is about the restoration of the waters of life. So we spiral with everything, even betrayal as incentive. And then just tying
the heroes will become. New heroes are arise because, you know, it's just sometimes unlikely ones.
Yes. Well, and right, and I do know what is true. I do know what is true, aspiring to practice what I spiral forth, that whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. And I know this is true, right? And that's the dynamic. And to say, okay, Madeleine Albright did many terrible things, but a great book on tyranny. Thank you very much. Okay, that's right.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
You know, okay, Obama did terrible things with Flint. Sorry?
That's the complexity of it.
Right. We want complexity and nuance, and again, a rousing thing, and also just to look at everything as unified, no isolated crisis of isolation. So the waters, the pollution of waters in Flint, and that there's only so much water on this planet. The North Carolina, like a horrific tarot card, the two women seeking mental health were drowned in the back of a van, yeah, while the attendants on top were rescued on their forcible way, bypassing barriers into the floodwaters, and we go, the toxic water in North Carolina.
Those millions and millions of chickens who couldn't get out of their cages.
3.4 million chickens and turkeys are dead. Right, and 5,500 hogs heaved into metal containers, and the waste and all of that. We go, whoa. So it is all connected. The Inquisition, there's the Canada, there's the, war on nature, there's the war on water, there's the lack of sacredness. And you are so good at tying all of this together, and then the woofiness. And so I was so heartened also when you said, oh, let's offer in the fun drive your fantastic Deosophy coloring book of goddesses, spirits, and ancestors, which is indeed fantastic. And let me just announce to our team, we are in Fun Drive, but we are here to support the woofy woman within all of us, regardless of our temporary age, race, and gender assignment. And so we're offering Deosophy, the coloring book of goddesses, spirits, and ancestors by Max Dascio. It is so adorable. I'm going to let you wax forth on it for a pledge of $80. We'll come right back to that. We have, thematically, it works, the Visionary Activist Show tote bag that says, if fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise. It's purple, cotton, 15 inches by 16 inches, for a pledge of $60. And then we are launching my ongoing, for 12 years, Trickster Training Council, convenes every Monday night. It's 6 p.m. West Coast time, but we record it as well. And you get three months of that for a pledge of $200. And also, because it is the equinox and the harvest moon this coming Monday night, we are opening our doors for a free pass for that night for anybody who pledges any amount to KPFA this hour. Just email me info@coyotenetworknews.com, and we will give you a pass. Now let's spiral back to and that's for a pledge of $200 by calling 1-800-439-5732 or securely online, kpfa.org. But can we spiral back to Deosophy? Because when you showed it to me, Max, the other night, I was like, oh, this is so heartening. I want to color this book. So, yes, can you guide us into it?
There's something healing about being able to see. It's very, very international collection, first of all. It has all kinds of different countries and cultures in here. And I was just, because I know you have your animal collection, as I was sifting through it, I realized how many different creatures, along with just the female figures, the women, the goddesses, but we've got serpents and dragons and griffins, lions, owls, horses, beavers, bears, spider, geese, macaws, deer, panther, elephant, that they just sort of made their way in there somehow. I didn't plan it like that. There's quite a few animals, but Vietnam and Ivory Coast and the Eurasian countries, which are somewhere there in between Russia and Siberia, and Congo, and there's an image of Isis the Nubian, and the last image in the book is one of my very favorites. Most of these are images that they're beloved for me, and it is Prajnaparamita, which is the supreme essence of wisdom, in a sculpture from Java, beautiful stone sculpture, very elaborate. She's all bejeweled, but she's holding her hands in this mudra of as above, so below, and seated in this very deep state of recollection, of ultimate awareness. So she seemed like a good place to wrap it up. But there's a lot of wild energies in here. I know, Caroline, you would like the two Eurasian images from the Permian culture. They had, they called her either the mother of nature or the mistress of nature. And so there are these sometimes three-headed female figures, all in the company of various animals. So they're standing on the backs of bears or wolves or beavers, and all kinds of creatures intertwined with them, you know, showing the interweave of all living beings. So that's a culture that most people don't know anything about. This is something that's out of medieval archaeology. And, you know, it just gives a broader swath to our mythic vision. You know, the goddess Giovanna from Poland riding on the back of a stag. You know, there's just these amazing images that are out there, and I spend a lot of time curating them, but I just rendered all of them. I spent 6 weeks drawing all of these, rendering them so that they could be published into a coloring book. And I had so much fun doing it.
And that's right, and all of our team, you can have effective magic and fun doing it. Again, this great coloring book of Goddess Spirits Ancestors by Max Dashew, our wonderful guest, 50 Icons from the Suppressed History Archives, with drawings and commentary, for a pledge of $80 by calling 1-800-439-5732. Well, you know, I love to say some things are always true, but there are times when they're truer, and I do derive such hearteningness from the cringing gloom of normal reality. And also looking at the guiding sky story, which is pluck up, there we go, Venus quintiles Pluto, beauty is stronger than tyranny and cruelty. Beauty and art are stronger than cruelty and tyranny. Mars quintiles Jupiter, which says, as you are coloring Max's book, you are bringing these things alive. It's like fresh telling of the story brings it alive. Fresh coloring of the image brings it alive. And these portals, I love a friend of mine, I've always known quintiles' beautiful 72-degree angles as irresistible eloquence, but a wonderful friend said, yes, they are that, but they're more, they're the capacity to open portals. And I go, right. And that's what your coloring book kind of does, right, for these beings to come back in.
Because it's a portal to experience. And you know, when I was growing up, we used to draw together. And coloring together, drawing together, we would tell stories as we did it. And I have such wonderful memories of that. And we redid this when I released the coloring books. And people hold gatherings, and you can just put some music on. You got the colors. You got the coloring books. You sit there, and you hang out. And it's really a lot of fun. But there's something about it that relaxes that itchy part of the mind. You know, and just allows you to go into a state of harmonizing, which is what art does. You know, and you're experiencing, and the thing about it is when you're coloring these images, it takes you very deep into the cultural intelligence of the world that created that image. So that, you know, wow, look at the complexity of the scales on that dragon, and look at the patterns behind it. And so, like, you get this really, this taste of a Chinese sensibility. But then over here, we're in Congo, and there's these amazing triangular zigzag patterns behind the female ancestor. And, you know, very much tied in, as it turns out, with matrilineal societies, this pattern. And so you look at it far more closely than if you just saw it, because you're interacting with it, you know, and you're making beauty with it as your guide. It's like the patterns there are laid out, and then you're following them, but you're also augmenting them, you know. And there's just this way that is soothing to the spirit to do that.
Very. And it's also like a million years ago, as a tiny occultist, learning tarot and the builders of the Adytum, they're pretty good, clean correspondence courses. But they said, now you color the cards, you know, not any old way, but according to this, because that moves the cards into your mind. Right, so it's much more intimate, and by coloring what you've put forth, which is so great, again, magnificent icons from the suppressed goddesses, spirits, ancestors, as you said, from Africa, Asia, Europe, the Pacific, the Americas, coming through rock art and murals. Well, we want all the help we can get right now. It's like, right, so that's really heartening. So it is a powerful time. I mean, so we're right before the equinox. The equinox will be at 6:55 p.m. on Saturday. And traditionally, let's go for this. I mean, it is a time of coming into balance. You know, we step into the center of the storm, and the solstices and equinoxes were always times where communities gathered to determine their desirable story to animate. You know, a literal and symbolic light of sun illumined this drawing, this coloring book, this painting at the back of the cave. This is the one we want to animate, right? So it's a And how do you think of equinox and this equinox?
Well, this, you know, I'm really seeing the Libran, you know, it'll be the cusp of Libra, right? We're entering onto that sign as a sign of justice. And so here we are in a situation where we're seeing almost the opposite of a justice, because someone's being nominated to the highest court in the land who has a history of bad acting, of really specifically crimes against women, and wanting to extend that because he's determined to undo Roe v. Wade. But you have this brave female figure who stepped up to throw a spanner in the works because all systems were go for the confirmation of Kavanaugh. And it's all shaken up now because there's this outcry, and it's another level of Me Too. It's showing us the injustices that are systemic against women, that, you know, you have an all-white male tribunal who's going to try to sit in judgment or to question a woman. And, you know, we were here before with Anita Hill, and how much has changed in all this time that now, again, it can be as controversial as ever and even as dangerous for her as ever, that her stepping forward and saying, wait, this is too important, I have to make a stand. And so she has to flee for her life, her and her family, because that's a particular part of American patriarchy. We may not have other forms that are more famous and maybe more dramatic in some people's minds, but you have this matter of internet-born death threats, you know, and doxing and persecution that is enacted. And this goes back to what you were pointing to earlier, that inquisitorial pattern that's part of the collective unconscious of Western civ. And so, you know, it has not yet been laid aside, and there are certain moments like this one where it's just on view for all to see that, you know, she's going to be the person who, I don't think he's going to get in, you know.
Okay,
we'll see, but I'll affirm that, you know, that potential is there, and it's really up to all of us to give a signal boost and say, no, this is not acceptable. We cannot allow another molester, basically, to sit on the court and to pass judgment over matters that affect every child, every woman, every girl in the country. Matters of life and death, because this is really, you know, what happens to you in your youth has an impact for your entire life, but it can derail, as she did not allow it to do to her, but it can derail your education, your future employment, your career, everything. Because that is structurally what is still allowed, still goes on, and especially, you know, behind the scenes, that the shame is somehow cast on her. This is very, very reminiscent of the witch hunts, where you've got these sexualizing themes as part of the story, part of the accusation.
Right.
You know, so in her case, the accusation is that she's a liar, that she's, you know, bringing this good man down.
Yes, and then people going, good heavens, 35 years ago, who knows what horrible things all of us did, say many of the men, and we go, no, it is, as you say, it's a resonant theme. You know, it's like Trump was sent to military school as a youth because he was found throwing stones at a neighbor's baby, right? And we go, he's still throwing stones at babies, you know, and Kavanaugh, you know, it's like the privileged, you know, he and his friend Mark Judge, you know, they've grown up to be quite harmful to women right-wingers already. It's a pertinent theme. It's not like it has been transcended. It's speaking to us like a tarot card. And I love to remind self and others that the word privilege means private law, right? So,
yes.
So
that's right.
There you have it, right? So the Kavanaugh team in the negative tarot card is like, it's a privilege to support privilege, right? And we go, no, we want to throw this into the cauldron. There we go. And it has brought up also, I remember, you know, going to dance class with some of these people and cringing in front of the kind of confident male arrogance, going, oh, I know I'm not attractive. I mean, I cringe now at the cringing, like, oof.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we all want to breathe away, you know, anytime we cringed in front of tyranny or tried to placate it in some way, like, because it is all kind of up in the memosphere, right? Don't you think?
It is, and those are learned emotional patterns. It's amazing how, after all these years and all the understandings that you've come to since that, how that can return. You know, that you can feel that you're still marked by it, you know, and behaviorally affected by it, because it is that very closely held power. I mean, I think that's a really important point about privilege, you know, private law, because in legal codes in medieval Europe, there were, the law codes were called les privilèges de barrage. And so there would be a provision that, you know, a husband could inflict any harm on his wife as long as he did not mutilate her. Right, so he could beat her. That was part of the law. That was his privilege. She did not. It was asymmetrical. She did not have that right to. She didn't have a right to defend herself either by law. And so we're looking at the aftermath of all of this, because it was never these beliefs, these deep cultural textures were never removed. We had a women's movement in the 19th century. You have the beginning of the overthrow of the absolute power of the father and husband, you know, over the body of his wife, over her earnings, all these things. But, you know, in practice, the shame was still shunted off to the female victim in all these settings, whether it was the dentist in his office, whether it was, you know, the professor in the private school, whatever the setting was, somehow still the structure is that the shame was hers. And that was what was so interesting about the internet memes that I've seen about this. It's like, well, some people say she waited too long, but then on the other hand, you know, I mean, they were comparing the double standard in the way that, you know, it was never okay, it was never all right to bring it up, you know, and so it's unwelcome. It's unwelcome for her to speak out in this way for very old cultural reasons. But if she doesn't, you know, and if we just allow this all to go forward, we're perpetuating old structures of power, you know, and so we have to look at that very closely. And maybe this time we can affirm at least that these quintiles are going to help us creak open those locked portals so that people start waking up and going, wait, this is not okay. This is not okay. We don't want somebody like this on the Supreme Court.
Right, and radio magic, as we've been practicing here since 1996. That's how long the Visionary Activist Show has been on. And when it began on Thursday, September 5th, 1996, what was rising in the East, 16 plus Scorpio, is a woman made fertile by her own spirit. Woof. Neptune's trining that. So the radio magic, you know, I like, you know, may we conjure, you know, a protective cloak of honoring protocol around, you know, the Christine part of our team, right? May we see this like in your coloring book, you know, all woofy women standing strong like Veronica Franco going, you know, and the men who support them. Yeah, it is, you know, it is against all odds. But as you said, you know, delay, slow this down. The more we slow water down when we run it through a field, the faster it infiltrates. Slow down. Because there is a rousing woofiness now of like, you know, and people said, well, they'll just come up with another monster. And we go, step by step, monster number one, then next. You know, again, we carry on in this way. And our powers of seeing, you know, and to bring all that you're dedicated to, you know, kind of into, you know. Well, I like, you know, if fascism arises in the absence of magic, let magic rise. And let me toss this to you, aspiring to practice my own whatever. You know, I used to say all war is a failure of imagination. And then I had to go, where's the blessing there, Caroline? if all war is a failure of imagination, then all peace is a triumph of imagination. I go, much better.
Very good.
And then,
yes.
And then I want to toss this to you and our dedicated listenership too as an exercise. So I used to say tyranny is compensatory. We need them. I like it. I want to make a bumper sticker. But we would say if tyranny is compensatory, we need them. Then I want our team. Then democracy is dopamine. I'm not sure. I just want to sort of spile it out there for people to contribute things. And while we're speaking of contributing, let's tease this into play because it is a dangerous time. I mean, it really is. We don't really need reminders, although reminders are very, very important. And Michael Moore's film is really good that way. There's a lot at stake. But like Marie Laveau, you know, and what was written about Marie Laveau, the great voodoo queen, said she did not create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. She saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered, oppressed people into a dynamic, ecstatic movement. We go, yeah, for everybody. You know, may everybody see what's at stake. And the dedication of, you know, KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show, our council here, and the voice of Max Dashew, and absolutely go to her website and absolutely pledge for her fantastic coloring book. Oh, I want to have a party. That's a great idea. Pledge for many of them and have a coloring book party. You know, just now, again, for a pledge of $80, you can have Max's wonderful coloring book. I'm going to pledge myself. Theosophy, coloring book of goddesses for a pledge of $80. It goes very well with the other things we're offering, the Visionary Activist Show tote bag. If fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise. You can see your allies while you're shopping at the food co-op for a pledge of $60. And then also, just because it's a woofy time to gather, KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show is one way, but it leads to so many other gatherings. This is such a dynamic listening audience, and so we're also offering Trickster Training Council, seasonal membership, 3 months for a pledge of $200. That's retail and wholesale. Launching this equinox season this Monday, which will be the full moon, the harvest moon, at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. But it's recorded for later, too. And we're also offering that open, a free pass to Monday night for anybody who pledges any amount this hour. Just email me, info@coyotenetworknews.com. So just to repeat that, you can have Theosophy, coloring book of goddesses. I want some. I want to have a book. I want to have a book party, a coloring party. What a great idea for a pledge of $80. An art salon. Absolutely. These are powerful things. Visionary Activist Show tote bag. If fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise for a pledge of $60. Or 3 months, you lucky all of us, of Trickster Training Council seasonal membership for a pledge of $200. Any or all or any amount is completely welcome by calling 1-800-439-5732 or donating securely online at kpfa.org, because we have a pretty vast listening audience. Hi there, team, and it's a good time to show up now. At this dangerous time, we want to replenish the waters of life, also known as money, in a dedicated way. And also to pledge for, you know, many people tell me that their dogs listen to this show. Hi there, dogs. Woof, woof, woof. So pledge for your dog. We have a number of people who listen from prison, right? So pledge for them. We have homeless audience. And see, one of the things I love about KPFA is you couldn't go to a commercial market and go, the audience I most treasure is homeless and incarcerated, which is true. It's part of the audience that I love so much. So again, 1-800-439-5732. So let's spiral back here. Okay, so here's the equinox and full moon. They're coinciding, and it is all a Mars-Venus dance. The full moon in Libra, incarnation of Venus, opposite the moon in Aries on Monday night, incarnation of Mars, and it's this equal dance. And I want to toss it to you. I so love the astro-mythological language, you know, even more than our English gender language. We all have Mars, woof, and Venus, yum, in all of us in different arrangements. And I like thinking that Venus magnetizes, calls in power, and then Mars animates whatever Venus brings in. Does that resonate with yourself?
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, Venus as attractor, as magnetic, and Mars as actor, one who goes out and gets.
Right.
And they're interactive. They're paired, just like Jupiter and Saturn are paired. There's something, you know, they're part of, it's a yin-yang whole. You know, they interact.
Yeah, it wants to be an equal dance within us and within world. And I love the Peruvian woman saying that says the task of the women is to tell the men when to stop hunting. We have enough. We have enough. No more drilling, no more hunting. That's it. That's it. Stop. Yo, have a yeah. taco. Right.
Here's another interesting piece, though, with talking about Libra, going into Libra as a sign of law and justice. And insurrection, too, were necessary, is it just occurred to me that the election, these important midterm elections that are going to determine so much of what we have going forward, I just got out my ephemeris to see, when does Uranus actually retrograde back into the last degree of Aries? And it's like 2 days after the election.
Yeah.
So that you know, if it's there at the last degree of Aries, then it means it's opposing the last degree of Libra. And it's kind of like, you know, there is this potential do-overness of that, you know, especially examining this one last round, examining that dysfunctionality of the Aries impulse that we've seen, you know, with this presidency. I mean, he's a Leo, but, you know, just that me, I, you know, what happens when that gets off track? And, you know, the collective is here, maybe, hopefully, in a corrective way, saying, wait, no, this is not who we are. You know, we want something different. This is not how it should be. So that
right.
impulse to write that, you know, I see Libra as so much about, like, oh, how do we restore balance? You know, what is required? You know, and just completely unpredictably, this woman arises out of nowhere and saying, okay, look, I put it all on the line because this cannot stand.
And I think, you know, images to spiral into the memosphere, it's partly why radio is so magic, because here we are, invisible, you know, and the capacity to spiral the desirable into group mind, into the memosphere, as Dion Fortune says, the purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. And we go, yeah, so as Uranus will retrograde back to 28 plus Aries, it resonates 28 plus Libra, and the Sabian symbol for 28 plus Libra is very wonderful. Let's bring it alive. It's men toiling in a dark pit. A woman calmly lowers a rope. We go, I love that image, right? Because it's like, oh, yoo-hoo. Oh, boys, here's a rope. You can climb out of that pit anytime you want. Wait, I got stuff to do. Let me just tie the rope to a tree. So that's available. You know, that metaphors, stories, and coloring books, right, are the ways in which, you know, the incarnational garb whereby power enters into the world, right? And that's part of the dynamic right now. It's our dedication and, you know, even, you know, what we do, what we think, what we say, and what we pledge, you know, that it's a powerful, dedicated time right now as Saturn, our dedication, trines Uranus, and it says dedication magnetizes, you know, us into, you know, alliances. And so even the pledging our fealty is a splendid thing to do. And I do want to encourage our team to pledge. Any amount is completely welcome. 1-800-439-5732. And any amount will grant me the capacity to email you. If you email me, info@coyotenetworknews, and invite you to our Monday full moon equinox telephonic trickster cahooting. But you can also have 3 months of trickster training cahooting. Again, all of this for a pledge of $200. And you can also have the Visionary Activist Show tote bag for a pledge of $60 that says, if fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise. But also, I know that you'd sent me, and I have it somewhere here, but when I was like, ooh, your coloring book, Max, your coloring book, that's so wonderful. I love all your books. I love everything you do. But you also said you'll particularly love the griffins and the whatever, and just to can we just animate these, you know, and the bird woman from Iraq and...
Yes, well, the griffins come in. I mean, actually, it's very interesting. The whole Eastern Mediterranean, I have 4 different griffins on one page just because I could not choose. But the griffins are interesting because you see her in ancient Crete, you know, very long time ago. But in Asia Minor, the griffin was the goddess Nemesis. And
yes,
some people
yes.
kind of cringe when they hear Nemesis, because it's sort of like, oh, she was his nemesis. You know, it's like, it does have that dimension of one who brings down that which is unjust, one who sets
right.
to right what wrongs were committed. In the mythology, Nemesis is sexually assaulted by Zeus, who really did a lot of that. You know, there are many victims strewn across the mythic landscape, but not her, because she got him. You know, so but anyway, she has this form as a griffin, and there are a lot of coins showing her, often with the wheel. And so the wheel has to do in Greek thought with the way, like Jane Harrison talks about the way, dike, the seasons, the cyclicity, you know, all the cycles of time. And so dike is the eldest goddess of the horae. And so those are the seasons and also the hours. So all these cyclicities are moving. And in a sense, she has to do with the divine law in time. You know, justice is that manifests through time. And so someone can get away, as Brett Kavanaugh did for 37 years
right.
with that sexual assault. And yet here it comes back at him to bite him in the butt. You know, and it's like in the mind of divine justice, it's never too late. You know, there is this thing that who knows what governs these cycles of time, but Nemesis is also seen as a pair of women, sometimes riding in a chariot. And so, you know, for those who represent patriarchal power, this is a very scary concept. But for our purposes, Nemesis is the corrective. It's like the long arc of the universe. Arcing toward justice.
Right. Well, the arc of the moral universe is, yeah, it curves towards justice.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, in a sense, it's that way, you know, and we don't always get to say the day or the hour, but how interesting that this has come forward in the way that it has now, what looked like an absolute cinch because the Republicans were determined to pound it through. If you can just hold your gravity, and that's where you're saying about Saturn and that importance of holding to intention and, you know, the seriousness of purpose, that you do not allow yourself to be intimidated, but you hold your ground. And, you know, sometimes there's a cost to that, and certainly we've watched this woman and her family pay that cost. But she's taken it for the whole team.
Right, and that's why, again, it's stepping up. It's like Veronica Franco, you know, she boldly defied, and then the men rose to back her up. And that's what we want to do as well. And, yeah, I love what you bring up, Nemesis, because Chalmers Johnston, a great friend of KPFA's, I think ancestor now, but wrote a great book called Blowback. But I heard him give a great talk on Nemesis, right? And he said Nemesis is that which will bring down empire. Like, oh,
yeah.
Yes. So, yes, let's everybody sketch a nemesis and, again, a cloak of protection around all woofy women standing up, that they feel supported. And I think this is also an important dynamic, that so many places like New Orleans that keep, you know, in Haiti, that keep the channels open of spirituality between the backstage and the onstage and the living and the dead, they take a particular hit. You know, I mean, they have been subject to such tragedies. Mm-hmm. And I think it sort of behooves all of us, you know, to honor that, to do what they do, so that it's everywhere. It's a diaspora of everybody doing this noble work, everybody woefully standing up, and, you know, the quintile, and in encouraging people to throw off their chains, even the tyrant, not counting on it, but even the tyrant, you know, in that dynamic that the woman hero is interested in liberating the land and liberating women and liberating justice and taking down empire, but willing to liberate even the tyrant who has hardened their heart. In our current circumstance, it may be, you know, way down the line in some Buddhist cosmology, you know, to have that happen, you know, in the fullness of time. But I also want to, I mean, there are so many people we admire and kind of back up, certainly the Parkland youth that play a important role in the world, and also in Michael Moore's movie, really strong. And I, you know, and again, so great at spiraling out of polarity, you know, maintaining the story of unity when people even kind of liberal-ish media going, aren't you mad about what this person said about you? They're like, no, we want to concentrate on the unifying story. This is where we're going. They're so good at that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I also, I love Stormy Daniels as the sacred prostitute. You know, I think they all go together. I like her book coming out. I did go see her strip club, and it felt like Darshan act. And, you know, that she did spank him and bring him to his senses, and she did say it was the least impressive sex she'd ever had in her life. But so everybody's, you know, under the cloak of whatever, there are mythic roles around for everyone and everything, and including KPFA, you know,
mysterious,
how do you want to see
destinies.
Say it again?
Mysterious destinies.
Yes. Yeah, no, because I have a wonderful ally, you know, really one of the best, you know, lawyers and creative renaissance people in the world who saw Stormy Daniels' interview on 60 Minutes and said, this is nothing. This is just tedious nothing. And I go, yes, I understand that story, but I think it's going to bring everything down. I think it's going to be tied to the thing. Let's wonder, oh, it did, kind of. Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, you know, it is a mysterious and quirky time that way. So, yeah, and then let me thank some people, and then are you willing to kind of co-exhort and continue to co-riff with me in our remaining time, Max?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Right. So thank you, team. Adorable. Your coloring book is a big hit, Max, and so is the, yeah. So we want to thank so many wonderful people, Stephen in Sebastopol, and Barbara in San Francisco, and Leslie. Hi there in Vineberg, and Lee in San Jose, and Patricia in Bodega Bay, and Keith in Berkeley. That's all wonderful. And let's light up our adorable phone team very much, and. Karen and Grattan, yay, wonderful. So we love this. So these are thank you gifts, all right, but thematically so. You know, they really do work. And so we are proffering as you pledge for the Visionary Activist Show, which began on September 5th, 1996. Holy moly, it's all right. Here we go. You know, but putting together, you know, the team, and what I so love about this show is its listeners, and the people do things. They connect, you know, and they weave things. It's an, you know, it's an agency of synchronicity. Who brought what to this renaissance? So it's been pretty great, and we've been putting together critique and solutions for 23 years, something like that. Oh, 24. God. Oh my God.
20.
So,
Oh, I was thinking,
sorry?
22 in the tarot. The 22.
Oh, that's good.
Arcana.
We'll go for that. We'll go for 22. It's close enough for mythological work. That's really good. And I also want to honor just all of the, you know, the heartening things that, you know, when we started off, there were a few grumpy people going, the world is owned by imperialists and capitalists. We can't afford this mythological talk. But they came around, right? And it's part of the dynamic that it's like, yes, we step into the circle. The world has been owned by imperialists and capitalists. So we can't afford not to have indigenuity and a willingness to cooperate with everything and an experimental animism, you know, with all the flora and fauna and all the things that Max Dashew is so dedicated to that you can bring alive in your own home by coloring them. I love that. I absolutely must have this book and give it to many people and have parties with it too, because it is. It's from Teotihuacan and Aztec and Syria and everything. Yeah, it's like we want, you know, it's very Jupiter trine Neptune right now, which is all the beautiful, powerful images that ever were or will be are here now, available for quickening. I love that thing.
I love that.
So, yeah. So it's neck and neck. You know, beauty and cruelty, but beauty is stronger, and we're voting for beauty. So Deosophy, coloring book of goddesses for a pledge of $80 is really great. It goes well with the Visionary Activist Show tote bag, which I use myself. If fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise. There we go. For a pledge of $60, it goes really well with the coloring book, and you know, you could have 3 months of Monday nights and special Facebook meeting place and all kinds of cool friends and allies, a great place to convene, Trickster Training Council, seasonal membership for a pledge of $200. And we are happy to let anybody who pledges anything this hour, $5 or $500,000, surprise us, you know, is welcome this Monday, the full moon of the equinox at 6 p.m. By phone, or web. If you email me and tell me what you pledged, that's fine. info@coyotenetworknews.com. So you can have 3 months for a pledge of $200, and you can have a free pass for any old thing. So that's really great. And then you yourself, Max, surely you listen to KPFA.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Wonderful. Oh, wait, who's the woman? Right? Oh, it's the water goddess at Kandy Belaham in Java. That's who I'm looking at.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. Can you animate her for us?
Burning out through her. Well, she's carved into the living rock, and there are openings in her nipples. So when the water table is full, it jets out through her breasts. And she's holding her breasts. And the flow is happening, and all around her the stone is carved with little spiral water patterns and flowers and different things. And then the water that pours from her breasts fills a pool in front of her. And, you know, this is part of the larger Hindu world. So it's like the greater, the idea of the sacred tank that you see. All the Indian temples have the tank, and so the immersion in the sacred waters, because, you know, not only is water life, but water for our purposes as spiritual seekers, immersing ourselves in the living water. This is a term in Hebrew, Mayim Chaim. You know, the mikveh originally is a renewal of supreme life force in the form of water. And so by immersing yourself in that, you transform. And we go through all our cyclicities of time with this cycling around. It's like, okay, I immerse again. I become whole. I become renewed in consciousness. And so that's the meaning of those tanks. But this is a larger theme also, because there are a lot of ceremonial vessels, and actually going back to that same cultural world of the Eastern Mediterranean, of goddess vessels or woman vessels that had openings in the nipples. And so when liquid was poured in through the top of the ceremonial vessel, it would shoot out. And so there are images like this that we know of from different parts of the Mediterranean. And that's a little window for us into ceremonial practice in a time period where we don't have a description anymore. But we can see that's what they did.
Beautiful. And did you know, I'm dusting off everything because we want to activate everything we've ever done and practiced into, tease it into pragmatic mysticism. So there's a great book, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, by an actual scholar. But outside the archives, where the Constitution is and all, is a statue of Isis, the real Isis, the goddess of nature. And she's pouring forth the waters of life. And she's holding a child and wheat. And it's like that was put there intentionally. And again, to remind us that there is only so much water. There's only so much water on this planet. It's one of the primary Saturn rules. And everything that gets taken out, you know, is out often, you know, for longer than we can imagine. And so we're really pledging and dedicating to the waters of life, to that which restores the waters of life, to all those heroic people who restore the waters of life, to our many guests who work mythologically and literally with water, you know, all of that, you know, because it's like, okay, so the Dementors, we're not going to let the Dementors of Doom, because it wouldn't be good for them either to get away with tyranny. We are friends of their soul, and therefore friends.
Nobody won't survive that.
Right. Well, we're friends of their soul, and therefore friends of their indictment, right? Because that would be good for them. There we go. And we're seeing that together. We have a coloring book of accountability. There we go. That, which is kind of like, I mean, the coloring book of goddesses, spirits, ancestors by Max Dashew, available for a pledge of $80. Really great. Wonderful. And I do want to thank many people, but we do want to, in our final 5 minutes, we want to up our level here. Yes, we do. But thanks very much. Beautiful humans, and a mystery person in San Jose, thank you very much. David in Davenport, Dana in Sebastopol, Aaron in Cotati, love all these places. David in Davenport again, good for him. Yes, twice he came back for more. Craig in San Jose, really great, wonderful. And yes, there's many things online, kpfa.org, which you can also pledge for if, you know, the coloring book is not, or you already have too many of Max Dashew's fantastic coloring books, or you have too many Visionary Activist Show tote bags, or too many Trickster Training Councils. You can also do what Craig did, which is pledge for Letters in Politics, American History Pack, MP3, which is excellent. Also, we are a good team. So So, yes. All right, team. So, yeah, well, it's also we're polishing off, you know, what you do so well, Max Dashew, is we do want the critique. You know, we're in the final realm of Virgo these last 3 days, which is critique, diagnosis, healing. Criticism is in order to heal, and discernment and high standards. We love that. So we have our magic mirror. All of us secular critics hold up the mirror and go, Hajva, Inquisition, sucks, terrible. And then with a wave of our hand, we turn the mirror into a window. But look how beautiful it could be. Look at Max's coloring book. Look at all the good things that humans have done that invite power into the world for a pledge of $80. You know, and then with another wave of the hand, we turn the mirror into window, into door. Let's go. So it is, you know, it's critique, yes. Vision, yes. Dynamism, let's go. So we all have these skills. And do you have a favorite? I'm looking also at Nemesis as a griffin with her wheel of fortune. Oh, yes. We put this up in her multi-breasts, right? Really great. So we do want these icons, you know, and I think that would be effective street theater. I want complex rhythms and complex art in our theater, and people can... Yes?
Dance the masks.
Dance the masks. Dance the masks. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because it's against...
The street.
Absolutely. That's really what we want. You know, who's got the, you know, again, to inhale back from the Dementors, you know, what we've surrendered when, you know, when the Death Squads roamed in Bali, the Death Squads, U.S.-backed, wore the sacred forest god masks. It's like, oh, very, very bad. And a terrible metaphor for what we've let happen. You know, we let the power of spirituality and story be kind of hoovered up by the Dementors. You know, again, Gary Luckman talking about chaos magicians, that these are, I mean, Trump is a cipher, but the people behind him really know they love chaos. They feed on heat. And so that's why we spiral here with the guiding help of such knowledgeable, creative people as Max Dashew, that we have arousal, Mars, anger, but then we cook it into desire. What do we want so as to not feed the Dementors? We say, please don't feed the Dementors. So we have one more minute of gloriousness. We would like to raise, $1 million, but $400 would be really great in this last kind of minute. Do you have exhortation within you, Max?
Well, yeah, I'm still resonating with Isis and the fact that you brought through the fact that somehow Isis survived all these millennia and winds up in front of, what was it, the National Archives or something like that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because there was a way in which that Egyptian mysticism, those who knew, you know, even in Renaissance Europe, we're digging all this back up again. And so there's this way in which that long memory carries through, that long resonance for those who are attuned. And so, you know, I really like that image because Isis holds the Ankh. You know, she is the one who upholds life. And the breath of life is in her mouth, and she's the creative word, and she brings things into manifestation. So we have that aspect inside ourselves to animate with reverence, you know, in what we can bring to bear. You know, and it's such an interesting time when you say Jupiter trining Neptune. What a very powerful dreaming that is, that expansive vision.
It is a powerful dreaming, and we're on our way out, but we also want to know that this equinox is where the sun in zero Libra is opposite Chiron at zero Aries. Chiron, who founded the Asclepion, the ancient temple, cultural center of intentional dreaming, healing, and theater, is available, as is Max Dashew's fantastic coloring book for a pledge of $80 by calling 1-800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. Thanks very much, Erica Bridgman. Thank you always, Max Dashew, and I would love to kahoot in perpetuity.
Okay, again, we will.
We will. All right. Woof. Thank you, team.
Oh, yeah.